Well, we can start on time today, not early like I did last time.
You're on time.
Looks like we have all three commissioners here, and I believe staff is ready. So, therefore, without any objection, I'd like to call the September 3rd, 2020 board meeting to order and remind everyone to please mute your microphone or computer microphone when not speaking. Thank you. Commissioners present are David Judah, City of Hillsborough, Danny Doyle, City of Beaverton, and myself, Jim Duggan, Walton Valley Water District. Ms. Branton will now conduct a formal roll call for the record.
Thank you, Chair Duggan. Here we go. We have our commissioners accounted for here. So we'll start out. Is Paul Matthews with us? Hey, Justin Carlton? Carrie Peck?
Here.
Joel Carey? Clark Balfour? Matt Oglesby?
Here.
Nikki Iverson?
Here.
Chris Wilson? Lee Lindsay? Eric Hellema? Chad Lynn?
Here.
David Winship?
Here.
Patrick O'Clair? Susan Cole? Dave Kraska?
Here.
Joelle Bennett?
Here.
Bill Vanderveer?
Here.
Mike Bridge?
Present.
Christina Walter?
Here.
Lisa Houghton?
Present.
I'm Faye Branton. I'm present. And I believe we have a guest with us today. Joe Miller with HDR was joining us. Joe, are you here?
I am. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have anyone else on the line today?
Tom Hickman.
Tom, I'm sorry I missed you. I went right over you. Thank you. So sorry.
It's okay, but I do have to jump off for a few minutes for another call, but I'll jump back in as soon as I'm off.
All right, thank you very much. Do we have anyone else with us today? Thank you, that concludes the roll call.
Commissioner Duggan, you're still on mute.
Thank you. Thank you, David. First on our agenda is the General Manager's Report, and Mr. Kraska will now present.
All right. Good afternoon. Thank you, Chair Duggan and Commissioners. So we've got first a quick reminders about remote meetings etiquette, and those include the usuals to please mute your microphone when you are not talking. And please identify yourself before you speak. But if somebody other than a board member would like to ask a question or make a comment, please use the chat feature and let the general manager know to wait to be acknowledged. And so with that, we move to the safety minute, where we're going to talk about fire prevention during extreme hot weather, which is coming right up. So the upcoming forecast here is hot and dry. And that means increased fire danger, as shown by this very dramatic photo. So we've got some simple precautions to help prevent fire during extreme hot weather events, starting with proper disposal of cigarettes, obviously. Don't know if there's any smokers in the audience, but doing this can drastically lower or prevent fire ignition and spread. Don't overload extension cords that can lead to sparking, which in added with hot, dry conditions as well is a fire risk. And this is a good reminder too, if you have an older car where it may be prone to backfires or sparks out the tailpipe, or any kind of newer car with a catalytic converter, those get very, very hot. And if you were to pull over to the side of the road and park in some dry grass, that can be a source of ignition. And so that can lead to a significant fire risk in itself. And when there is a burn ban, obviously don't burn. And if you're anticipating being in a situation where there may be a fire risk, keep a fire extinguisher, a bucket, and hose ready to be prepared to stop a fire from spreading. So pay attention to the conditions and practice fire safety and enjoy the Labor Day weekend. That's right around the corner here. So continuing on with the general manager's report, starting with the approvals and procurements forecast. Attached to this report is that forecast for August through October. The forecast presents a view of WWSP activities that have recently been approved or scheduled for approval over the next 2 months by either the director, the WWSS committees, or the WWSS board. Forecast shows that we currently anticipate having 5 business items on the October board meeting agenda. These include 1 item pertaining to the WWSP real estate activities, 2 WWSS intergovernmental agreements, a design contract amendment for 1 project, and local contract review board approval for the use of alternative contracting methods for construction of 1 project. Joelle Bennett will present a staff report later in this meeting on these anticipated October business agenda items. The forecast also lists other real estate activities, intergovernmental agreements that are in process, and upcoming contracts and LCRB approvals. Moving on now to projects planning, permitting, and communications updates. The recent permit approvals have been received for the PLW 1.3, MPE 1.0, and Raw Water Facilities 1.0 projects. And permit applications continue to be prepared and submitted for various WWSP projects. Won't list them all here, but they're listed here in the general manager's report. Obviously, as we're beginning to wrap up a lot of our design activities, there's a lot of permitting activity going on all of our active projects. And despite restrictions and modified business practices of the permitting agencies related to COVID-19, our permits continue to be processed in a timely manner. Regarding projects design status updates, the work continues on multiple design projects, including 9 pipeline projects, the water treatment plant, distributed control system, and the terminal storage project. All of these design projects are progressing according to plan. And finally, now talking about our projects construction status updates, we have 6 of them, starting with the raw water facilities project that's located right there at the Willamette River in Wilsonville. We've completed mobilization efforts, tree removal, and grading of the upper site. And we began access road construction. And what I mean by access road, that's the road that goes down through the park that's right adjacent to the existing water treatment plant down there. And that's the road that we'll be using for the duration of the construction project, specifically for seismic improvement, bank stabilization right there at the Willamette River, and also for construction and installation of our raw water pipeline. The PLM 1.1 project is our raw water pipeline project in Wilsonville that extends from the raw water facility project I just talked about up to just short of Wilsonville Road. On that project, we continue to final creek and utility crossings work, so that one is nearing completion. PLM 1.2 is our raw water pipeline project being completed in partnership with the City of Wilsonville's Garden Acres Road project. On that one, we're making good progress as well. 1,200 feet of water line installed and completed. The trenchless installation of the casing for the Day Road crossing. So good progress there. Our PLM 5.1 project, that's our finished water pipeline project being completed in partnership with Washington County's Roy Rogers Road project. On that one, so far, 2,200 linear feet of water line is installed. We're installing a 66-inch by 48-inch T for connection to the MPE 1.0 project. So that's a significant piece of work that'll enable connection to the MPE project that's to come. On our PLM 5.2 project, that's our finished water pipeline project along Shoals Ferry Road and Tile Flat Roads, we are working to complete, we're working to complete in advance of development work in the area. On that project, we've completed pipeline. The completed pipeline was successfully tested. Installation of corrosion protection systems and restoration of adjacent properties is ongoing. PLW 1.3, our newest project on this list, that's our finished water pipeline project in South Hillsboro from Southwest Farmington Road to Southeast Blanton Street. That one, we've continued mobilization efforts to create the staging area and the haul road. All of these projects remain on track and are progressing according to plan, and all contractors are remaining in compliance with the governor's executive order number 20-12 regarding hygiene and social distancing. And that concludes this month's general manager's report.
Thank you, Dave. Any questions from the commissioners?
None here.
All right. Hearing none. Second on our agenda is public comment. Public comment time is set aside for persons wishing to address the board on items on the consent agenda and matters not on the agenda. Additional public comment will be invited on agenda items as they are presented. Do we have any persons who would like to comment? Hearing none, we can move on to the actual consent agenda. Consent agenda items are considered to be routine and may be enacted. Hello? Is there public comment that we need to address before we move on to the consent agenda? Okay, we'll move on to agenda item number 3, the consent agenda. Any board member may request that an item be removed by motion for discussion and separate action. Any items requested to be removed from the consent agenda for separate discussion, even though we only have one, will be considered immediately after the board has approved those items which do not require discussion. The single item on our consent agenda is approval of the August 6, 2020 meeting minutes. Do I have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda as presented?
This is Commissioner Judah. So moved.
This is Commissioner Doyle. I'll second that dramatic motion.
Thank you both. We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda as presented. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
And opposed, the motion passes. Next on our agenda are business agenda items. First up, item 4A, considering adopting resolution number WWSS 18-20, declaring public necessity to acquire property interests over, upon, under, and through real property for the pipeline section PLM 4.3 for the Lamont Water System. Ms. Bennett will now present the staff report.
Thank you, commissioners. To be more efficient with our meeting time, I'd like to present this PLM 4.3 right-of-way acquisition item with the other two real estate actions that are on the agenda today, items 4B and 4C. Supplemental resolutions of public necessity for PLM 5.3 and the PLW 2.0 projects. Please recall that individual motions are needed to enact the separate resolutions. The Willamette Water Supply System's PLM 4.3, 5.3, and PLW 2.0 projects have completed their 60% design phases, and we are ready to begin final design as well as real estate acquisition and land use permitting. The PLM 4.3 project is located mostly within unincorporated Washington County, following Roy Rogers Road from Sherwood up to Tigard. PLM 5.3 is located mostly within unincorporated Washington County, along Southwest Grouthorn Road, across private property from the Reservoir 1 location to near Clark Hill Road, and across private property to the connection point with PLW 1.3 at Southwest Rosedale Road and the future Cornelius Pass Road. PLW 2.0 is located along Cornelius Pass Road from Southwest Francis Street to Highway 26, mostly within the city of Hillsboro. Each staff report contains a project map for your reference. The program has progressed the design of these projects to enable identification of property requirements as attached to the resolutions. The property needs are required to, among other purposes, fulfill standard construction work zone requirements and to provide for future maintenance and operations of the system. For PLM 4.3 and 5.3 in their rural settings, easements are also needed for not only the pipeline and its associated facilities, but access roads to provide access to pipeline sections that are not located adjacent to the public right-of-way, the trenchless crossing of the Tualatin River, limited use easements that protect the pipeline and associated water system facilities from potentially damaging activities such as aggregate mining, and temporary easements for construction, access to construction areas, and access and monitoring or maintenance of restoration areas. Staff have identified property needs for these pipeline sections and requested board action through multiple resolutions to allow the real estate acquisition effort to begin on schedule. If needed, supplemental resolutions will be brought to the board for authorization to proceed on additional property needs not covered under these or previous resolutions of public necessity. In summary, the Commission has the authority to acquire real property for the WWSS. The pipeline sections PLM 4.3, PLM 5.3, and PLW 2.0 require the acquisition of easements on private property. These pipeline alignments were selected through extensive alternative evaluations, and the preferred locations were selected based on the best interests of the public and the least injury to private property owners. These resolutions enable the initiation of the property acquisition process, including negotiations with interest holders, and also authorizes the acquisition of the property interests by eminent domain to the extent negotiations fail. Staff recommend approval of the proposed resolutions. May I answer any questions?
Thank you, Joelle.
Pretty straightforward.
Yeah, thank you for condensing all of that.
You're very welcome.
Yes, appreciate that. So we'll now consider business agenda items 4A, B, and C, each separately. So item 4A, do I have a motion and second to adopt resolution number WWSS 18-20, declaring public necessity to acquire property interests over, upon, under, and through real property for pipeline section PLM 4.3 for the Willamette Water Supply System?
Commissioner Doyle, so moved.
Commissioner Judah, I second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Move on to 4B. Do I have a motion and second to adopt resolution number WWSS 19-20, declaring public necessity to acquire property interests over, upon, under, and through real property for pipeline section PLM 5.3 for the Willamette Water Supply System?
Commissioner Judah, so moved.
Commissioner Doyle, I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
None opposed. The motion passes. Move on to item 4C. Consider, do I have a motion and second to adopt resolution number WWSS 20-20, declaring public necessity to acquire property interests over, upon, under, and through real property for pipeline section PLW 2.0 for the Willamette Water Supply System?
Commissioner Doyle, so moved.
Commissioner Judah, I second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Next on our agenda is item 4D, considering adopting resolution number WWSS 21-20, authorizing the general manager to enter into an intergovernmental agreement with the city of Wilsonville for the Willamette River Water Treatment Plant, WRWTP, filtration plant study. Mr. Kraska will now present the staff report.
Thank you again, Chair Duggan and commissioners. So, as was stated, this item is about an intergovernmental agreement with the city of Wilsonville to participate in their filtration study. The filtration study that they're conducting is they're intending to use higher filter loading rates, which means they're going to be treating water at a higher rate through their existing filters than they're currently permitted for. And that's a study they need to conduct to gain approval to operate in that manner with the Oregon Health Authority. So this is a study that we would need to conduct anyways to perform, to obtain needed approvals from the OHA for our treatment plant on the Willamette Water Supply System. And so Wilsonville is performing this same study for its plant. And this presents us an opportunity to get the same information that we need at essentially half the cost. We participated with knowing this and knowing that this would be a good opportunity for us. We've already participated with the city in scoping the work and making sure that it would provide value to our efforts and that we'd be able to use the data in our communications and our future communications with Oregon Health Authority to obtain these permits. So all of that's pointing in the right direction. At the end of the day, this we're going to split the costs. The IGA identifies that we split the costs 50-50 with the city of Wilsonville. And so the cost to the Willamette Water Supply system is about $160,000. And like I said, it's about half the cost that it would be if we were to conduct the study on our own. So that's a really short and to the point presentation on what this item is about, but I'd be glad to answer any questions for you.
Any questions from commissioners?
No, not for me.
Nope.
It sounds like a great deal. Therefore, I'll ask for a motion and a second to adopt resolution number WWSS 21-20, authorizing the WWSS Commission General Manager to enter into an intergovernmental agreement with the City of Wilsonville for the Willamette River Water Treatment Plant Filtration Pilot Study.
Commissioner Doyle, so moved.
Commissioner Judah, I second.
It's been moved and seconded. We'll call the vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
None opposed. The motion passes. Next on the agenda, item 4E, is considering adopting resolution number WWSS 22-20, approving amendment 1 to the project management services agreement between Tualatin Valley Water District and Willamette Water Supply Program for delivery of MPE 1.0 through the Willamette Water Supply Program. Ms. Bennett will now present the staff report.
Thank you again, commissioners. Several months ago, TVWD reached out to the program team to incorporate a proposed change to the MPE 1.0 project into our work at the Hall-Olson intersection, which is also known as Bradley Corner. This change went through our standard change review process and was approved to move forward. The change requires an amendment to the 2019 agreement, which authorized the MPE 1.0 project. This agreement was executed prior to the Willamette Water Supply Commission's inauguration. Therefore, this amendment also provides us the opportunity to recognize the assignment of the agreement from the Willamette Water Supply Program to the Willamette Water Supply System. That assignment also became effective with the execution of the WWSS IGA. The parties to the original agreement were TVWD, Hillsborough, and the program. And the purpose of the agreement was to acknowledge TVWD's sole ownership of the MPE 1.0 project and Hillsborough's assignment of all MPE 1.0 responsibilities to TVWD. The agreement defined the MPE 1.0 project and how it was to be delivered through the program. The change to MPE 1.0 is to add a TVWD connection to the Portland Water Bureau 24-inch line located at the intersection of Hall Boulevard and Olson Road with the remainder of the MPE 1.0 project. The connection will include a seismic valve, flow meter, pressure reducing valve, and other necessary appurtenances. The pink line on the right figure shows the Portland line. The blue line represents the MPE 1.0 design, and the orange line, the additional work this change authorizes. The amendment before you today contains the following changes to the original agreement. It acknowledges the previous assignment from the program to the system, and the new parties on the amendment are only WWSS and TVWD. The amendment also adds the additional project definition for the requested changes at the Hall-Olson intersection. Staff recommend approval of Amendment 1 to the Project Management Services Agreement to allow design to commence on the new TVWD intertie. May I answer any questions?
Thank you, Joel. Any questions from commissioners?
None here.
No, we're good. Never knew that was Bradley Corner, but that's on our way to our grandkids' house. My wife does that 4 out of 5 days, picking up 1 of 4 grandkids during the COVID crisis. So we're going to look for that sign.
Yeah, I doubt if very many citizens recognize how important Bradley Corners is. It's a busy intersection, but
yes, it is.
In the world of water, it's one of the most busy in the region. So
I'll have new appreciation when I look at the pavement.
So adding that 24-inch pipeline at Olson Road. There being no further questions, we'll consider item 4E. Do I have a motion and a second to adopt resolution number WWSS 22-20, approving Amendment 1 to the Project Management Services Agreement between Tualatin Valley Water District and the Willamette Water Supply Program for delivery of MPE 1.0 through the Willamette Water Supply System?
This is Commissioner Judah. So moved.
Commissioner Doyle, I'll second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
And then opposed, the motion passes. Next on the agenda, item 4F, considering approving Amendment 4 to the PLW 2.0 design contract in the amount of $612,036.73 to Kennedy Jinks Consultants, Inc. for additional design services on the PLW 2.0 project of the Willamette Water Supply Program. Mr. Britch will now present the staff report.
Good afternoon, Chair Duggan, Commissioners. So I think if it's okay with our team, I'm gonna share my screen. There's a lot of clicks in this presentation. So let me attempt to do that here. Okay, can people see the PowerPoint up?
Looks good.
Okay, all right. So this is regarding PLW 2.0 Design Contract Amendment, which is amendment number 4. So just to give you a little bit of background on the project and overview. So this project represents the very tail end, the north end of our gravity system. So it follows Cornelius Pass, begins at Francis, and at the end of PLW 1.2 project, and then continues 3.3 miles all the way up to Highway 26 in Cornelius Pass, involves 3.3 miles of 48-inch diameter welded steel pipe. There are three Hillsboro turnouts along the way. At the very north end is an important facility for TBWD. It's a pressure-reducing valve facility that serves to connect the Willamette into their two main pressure zones, the 435 and the 385. But it also now will provide a new emergency connection for Hillsboro at the north transmission line. The project is currently progressing towards 90% design this fall, and construction notice to proceed is anticipated for July 2021. So one of the parts of the design amendment relates to TVWD's PRV facility, so that facility at the very north end. And so we had a lot of great involvement and input from TVWD staff, from operators regarding, you know, what needs to happen to make this facility really accomplish all the operational and other goals for it. And so this is really facilitated through a number of workshops. So one of them was related to hazard and operability, where you look at, you know, what are the potential operational hazards associated with all the infrastructure internal to the facility. Another workshop focused on access, lifting, and maintenance. So, you know, to make sure the stuff that we design is done so in a way that really supports safe long-term operations. And through that, you know, really great involvement by TVWD staff, we recognize that there's some desire to make some improvements in regard to the overall facility and some of the goals for what it needs to accomplish. So it resulted in greater complexity associated with that facility. So some of the items involved the addition of new valves and other piping for redundancy and other operational flexibility. Originally, the plan at that location was just to utilize the existing fluoride injection that was there, but based on kind of the outcome of these workshops and the operator input, the desire to add new injection vaults for the fluoride at that location. TVWD currently has a flow meter for its 435 zone there, but there's desire to do some needed improvements there related to operator safety and access. The facility currently has a diesel generator, but the problem is it's running off natural gas. And so from an overall resiliency standpoint, it's desired to improve that resiliency at that location and to switch it out with a new diesel generator at that location. So in total, this design amendment represents about 73 additional new drawings that will go into the plans. And of that, 58 of them are associated with this facility design. The balance of the drawings and design related to changes relates to Hillsboro's turnouts. And so there's three turnouts along this project, again, through really great participation from Hillsboro engineering and operations staff, resulted in feedback for modifications to the turnout vault locations and access. And also, as you can imagine, along Cornelius Pass, it's a very densely developed urban environment, a lot of busy roads where everything's kind of jammed in there. All the intersections, everything's built out. And so as the designers and the team got into it, they really had to address a lot of different site constraints. And so, you know, that includes grading, access, other utility conflicts. As I alluded to, there's just limited space within the existing right-of-way. Need for, you know, safe parking and access to these vaults that are really important for access. In one case, one of these turnouts had to move to the complete opposite side of the intersection at Baseline and Cornelius Pass. It's being, you know, constructed now in an area that's close to an existing commercial area. So there's a lot of challenges just fitting this infrastructure into these, you know, existing intersections. In another case, it had to move down the block a little bit. So there's additional plan and profile sheets associated with the pipeline there. So as a result of all that, there's 15 new drawings that are required to facilitate these changes for the Hillsboro turnouts, including plan and profile drawings for pipeline and demolition, instrumentation, and other related drawings. So just to kind of walk through the major components of the proposed contract amendment. Design coordination meetings is part of it. So originally, when this project was scoped, we were trying to be efficient and limit the number of design coordination meetings. Out of the 30 that were originally scoped, the design team, in collaboration with, you know, our agency staff, have gone through 28 of them. And I hear from our project manager that they use every minute of those meetings to really go through and work through a lot of detailed things they need to discuss as this design is being completed. An additional 20 meetings are needed to help facilitate completion of the design, again, allowing us to continue engaging with operations and engineering staff, and to continue coordination with permitting outreach and real estate. The other part covered by the previous two slides is that this additional design work results in 73 new drawings as part of the set. So that'll be incorporated in the 90 and 100% design phase services. There's need for another geotechnical exploration. So that relates to the Hillsboro's turnout at Baseline. So when you move from one side of a very, very large intersection to the far other side, you're actually moving quite a bit away. And so there's really need to really understand the ground conditions there and then do the appropriate geotechnical analysis and then include that information in the appropriate reports. So utility location mapping and surveying. So, you know, our team is always looking at ways to improve the constructability, the cost effectiveness of all of our projects. And so one of those resulted in a minor alignment change that we believe is going to save about $100,000 in construction savings. But because it's now slightly beyond the area that was originally surveyed, there's some need to go back out there and fully, you know, pick up the survey for that new area. There's also 20 additional potholes. So those are those things that you go out and you do usually vacuum excavation to identify where these potential utility conflicts are. It's really important to do a good job during design to find those and to list those accurately on the drawings. The cost of finding them and dealing with them in construction it can be very expensive. And so due to either having insufficient information and or needing new utilities potholes, there's a need for 20 additional potholes. There's a need to kind of fully complete the hydraulic analysis and, more importantly, the hydraulic transient analysis. So that's the water hammer or the surge. It's when you have water moving and something stops all of a sudden, like a pump stops or a valve gets closed too quickly. You have these pressure waves that bounce back and forth. And so this is an activity that the program was fully aware of. It was just a matter of trying to figure out what is the right way to have this work accomplished. And since this particular designer is also the designer for the bulk of the rest of the gravity system, it was felt appropriate to have them do this final transient analysis for the gravity system. Right-of-way engineering drawings and descriptions. So really what this relates to is 5 additional legal descriptions that are required. So there was 10 in the original scope, but based on staging and relocation of turnouts, there's 5 more that are needed. So, you know, as we always do, we try and make sure that the costs are appropriate for the work that's being requested. And so one of the methods that you've heard us talk about on other examples related similar to this relates to, you know, what's the original drawing count when the scope was first negotiated, and what was the unit cost for those sheets, and to validate that, you know, it is an appropriate level of effort for this work. So in the case of Kennedy Jenks in this contract, the original drawings cost approximately $9,000 per drawing. With these 73 additional sheets, based on where we're at, then the number is about $5,000 per drawing. So we believe this represents a good value for including this additional effort. So this table here shows kind of the initial contract value, different amendments that happened, with the proposed amendment number 4, just over $600,000, based on the work that needs to be completed. In this case, TVWD share is about just over $400,000. Hillsborough's just over $200,000. Again, the bulk of TVWD's is really related to that facility. So the new proposed contract value is just under $5.5 million. Again, it's kind of another check. We try and understand, well, how does this design contract value compare to the cost of construction? It's just another kind of metric. And so the initial contract value was at 7.9% of the estimated construction value. Right now, with Amendment 4, it'd be at 8.5%. And so just for, you know, awareness, you know, pipelines in general, you know, 10% or so would be kind of a reasonable amount. But then you add in a facility like at the very north end, and the complexity and these other workshops and other elements of the design, we feel that this still represents a very good value for the work that needs to be completed. So relative to these specific modifications that we're talking about, the consultant has done a really good job staying on schedule. So they're on schedule through 60%. Based on the work that we're talking about today, these changes aren't expected to have impacts on future schedule. And again, based on what we're talking about today, it's expecting 90% design this fall. So the requested board action is to approve an amendment in the amount of $612,036.73 with no contract term extension for this work to Kennedy Jenks contract to provide additional design services for the PLW 2.0 project for the Willamette Water Supply Program. And with that, that concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you, Mike. Any questions from Fishers?
None from me.
Do you anticipate any further changes needing to be made? It sounds like we're almost 100% through this process. Just curious.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'll go ahead and start, and you know, maybe Dave or Bill might want to kind of weigh in here too. But so you know, all our easy projects are done, and so this is certainly one that has some challenges associated with it. And so, you know, one of the challenges that is kind of working its way through relates to the need for additional landscape architecture support services. And so I'm not sure how familiar you all might be related to some of the work we're doing outreach around Aranco Woods, and there's a berm where just to the north of it that we're working on providing, you know, addressing neighbor concerns and so forth. And so based on kind of our public outreach activities, there's a need to provide some additional services that would kind of support illustrating what the plans are for that landscape architecture work, and perhaps include some renderings. So that's one of the things that's kind of working its way through the system right now. As you could imagine, building a pipeline in Cornelius Pass Road, traffic is one of the most, if not the most important, you know, aspects that need to be dealt with during construction. And so, you know, our team has done a really good job doing outreach to both Washington County and to the city of Hillsborough related to all the potential traffic impacts. And as we're learning, you know, it's becoming more clear what the constraints will be on the construction activities. And so we're getting those ironed out. But I think what we're finding is, again, and no surprise, given, you know, how busy it is, you know, there's a number of constraints we'll have to comply with. And what that effectively does is it places kind of limitations or constraints on our construction activities, which means kind of slower production rates, and or less efficiency in the ability to install pipe in this very busy road. And so I think, you know, that so what that really has is schedule implications. And so I think those are two things that are working their way through the system right now. And I don't know, Dave or Bill, I don't know if you have anything you want to add to that.
Thanks, Mike. This is Dave. I really don't have anything to add to it other than to commit to the board that we're trying to manage change going forward as rigorously as possible. One sure way to like hurt our ability to meet schedule and budget is to allow change to continue to occur. And so the whole team is working really hard to really focus and just get things done. But this is a big challenging project. It's a big massive program, lots of challenges ahead that we'll need to still remain creative and nimble and address, but we'll with a focus on managing schedule and budget changes along the way. Mike did a good job of presenting one of the main changes that we're dealing with. It's a bit of a change on the portion of the pipeline that's going through Orenco Woods and just north of there through the old ODOT berm. So there's been a lot of public interest, I'll say, in that element of work. And so we've had to do a lot more increased outreach to inform many different parties about what it is exactly that we're doing there. And we anticipate that part of that is going to require some additional work to better communicate to them through some renderings and things of that nature of exactly the work that we're planning on doing, and then also coming to some agreement in terms of the restoration work that will follow once we complete our work. So I'd say we're probably looking at least one more amendment to this design contract to accommodate that. Nowhere on the order of the amendment that we just talked about in this meeting, so it's going to be within my signing authority. That's what I anticipate, but that's what we can see coming forward.
Thank you all.
Yes,
Dave. I wanted to add one thing that just for the board's awareness that Hillsborough is analyzing the need for water quality analyzers at its turnouts as well, and that's part of the larger conversation about managing change. So. That may be another change, but I'm not sure it'll rise to the level of the board.
Okay, further questions or input from staff? Hearing none, I'll ask for a motion and second to approve Amendment 4 to the PLW 2.0 design contract in the amount of $612,036.73 to Kennedy Jenks Consultants for additional design services on the PLW 2.0 project of the Willamette Water Supply Program. Do I have that motion?
I'll move that. We adopt.
This is Commissioner Jude. I second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
None opposed. The motion passes. Move on to agenda item 5, which are informational items. 5A, Ms. Bennett will present the planned business agenda items for October.
Thank you, commissioners. Can you verify that you see my PowerPoint presentation?
I can see, yeah, a slide.
Thank you.
I see. I'm seeing 5A plan October business agenda items, yeah, but it's blank.
I'm a little funny on my end. All right. So thank you, commissioners. I'll be providing a brief overview of the items that we expect to have on the business agenda next month. The first item being a PLM 1.3 resolution of public necessity. Staff are nearly ready to initiate property acquisition for PLM 1.3. which is located within the city of Wilsonville along Kinsman Road, Beckman Road, 95th Avenue, and Ritter Road. The program has progressed the design of this pipeline to enable identification of property requirements for construction and long-term operation and maintenance of the pipeline. At the October board meeting, staff will present the project area and easement needs with a recommendation to the board to adopt a resolution of public necessity to allow staff to begin the process to acquire permanent and temporary construction easements for PLM 1.3. Second item is PLM 1.0 design contract amendment for completing the PLM 1.3 design and PLM 1.1 construction services. The PLM 1.0 project, like I just mentioned, is located in Wilsonville, and it consists of three phases with design services provided by HGR. PLM 1.1 and 1.2 are currently in construction, and PLM 1.3 is in final design. For PLM 1.1, the program required additional services during construction from HGR, and for the PLM 1.3 project, additional effort is needed to perform evaluations, design, and ground lease intergovernmental agreement coordination and design that were not anticipated in the original project scope of work. program staff are currently negotiating the additional scope and effort with HDR. At the October board meeting, program staff will present the proposed design contract amendment for board approval. I'll deliver the third and fourth items together. They relate to MPE and COB construction IGAs. So the program is delivering the design of MPE 1.0, now divided into three phases, and COB 1.0, now divided into two phases, as coordinated projects for TVWD and Beaverton through the existing design IGA. Likewise, Beaverton and TVWD desire to have the projects constructed together to reduce the community disruption multiple simultaneous pipeline construction projects can have on neighbors and the traveling public. The original IGA did not include provisions for the coordinated construction of the projects, so a new IGA is needed to address each project phase and its specific construction coordination. For MPE 1.1/COB 1.1 project, City of Beaverton is anticipated to be the contract manager for the combined construction effort. For MPE 1.2/COB 1.2 project, the program is anticipated to be the contract manager for the combined construction effort. At the October board meeting, staff will present the two proposed intergovernmental agreements with recommendations to the board to adopt them through resolution. The fifth and final item is findings for the use of alternative contracting methods for construction of MPE 1.2, COB 1.2. At the August Board of Commissioners meeting, the board, acting as the Local Contracting Review Board, or LCRB, approved a draft resolution declaring an exemption from competitive bidding for MPE 1.2, COB 1.2, and thereby approving the use of best value selection for construction contractor procurement. In the meantime, the program has requested oral testimony or written comments from the public in response to the proposed procurement exemption. Staff will provide the public comments and, if appropriate, ask the board, again acting as the LCRB, to adopt the final resolution at the October board meeting. This concludes the summary of upcoming action items. May I answer any questions?
Thank you, Joelle. Any questions from commissioners?
No, very clear.
No.
All right, well, thank you. Item 5B is a reminder that the next regular board meeting is scheduled on October 1st, 2020 at 12 noon, and it will be preceded by an executive session at 11:30 a.m. Both meetings will be held via dial-in conference due to the continuing COVID-19 restrictions. Last on our agenda are communication and non-agenda items, but we have none scheduled for today's meeting. Is there any further business or information from staff, from commissioners, before we adjourn today?
No. Just and happy long weekends.
Yes. I hope everyone enjoys their long Labor Day weekend. And hearing no objections, I'll adjourn the meeting by declaring there is no further business before the Board of Commissioners, and therefore this meeting is adjourned. Thank you all.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Great packet, as always.
Great weekend.
Take care.